I ask that you turn now in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. It's a rather lengthy chapter, but I won't be reading the full chapter. I'll read just the first 12 verses. Beginning with verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to you, Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in a wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk." May God add his rich blessings to this readings of this portion of his holy, infallible truth. This is a sort of a difficult chapter within the pages of Scripture. Yet it's a beautiful chapter. My original thought was that I would tackle this in one message. And then I started reading more and more and looking at all the various texts of scriptures that have some tie to it, and I figured, well, that's not going to work out. And then I thought, well, I'll just limit it to the first 12 verses, and I looked at that, and I thought, that's not going to work either. So I'm going to give a bit of an introduction today to this chapter, and I'm going to limit it to basically the verses concerning Reuben, and then Simeon and Levi. And but a little bit about this, as we would notice, is that, and I just used as its title what we find in the title of this chapter in the New King James Version. That is Jacob's last words to his sons. That's an adequate title to it. I know there's many different titles to this particular chapter. But I find that this is pretty good, because that's exactly what this is. It's Jacob's last words to his sons. And this chapter, in essence, brings us to the close of Jacob's life. As we look at it, and as we reflect upon that, we read this. So, out of basically chapter 47, verses 27 through 31, because chapter 47 basically begins the closing days of Jacob's life. And we read this in chapter 47, verses 27 through 31. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there, and they grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." And then he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. Now, book of Genesis, we know, begins with the words, "In the beginning." And these last chapters of the book of Genesis set forth basically the end of the beginning. That is, the end of the beginning of the book of Genesis, and also the end of the era of the patriarchs. Because as we look at this, we find now the patriarchs would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we could include the 12 sons of Jacob. But the 12 sons of Jacob, we don't read about further as far as their histories are concerned in anywhere but the book of Genesis. Those 12 sons all died, as well as Abraham, prior to what the next book of the Bible is. For an example, is the book of Exodus. And the Exodus itself comes some 400 years later. Well, some would say 430 years later. And that's about the era. That's about the era of the patriarchs. That was 430 years. And so that's basically the end of the beginnings. The end of the book of Genesis and the end of this history of the patriarchs, the patriarchal period. And so we look at that. Now, this is basically the blessings here that are given, that we read in from the eighth or the second verse up to the to 28th verse. These verses are basically a poem. It's a poetry. Part of Hebrew poetry. And we would recognize that the frame of it is interesting. These blessings that come to it, they are for his sons. But they're not only for his sons, they're for his posterity. That is to say that we look at it, they're God-breathed words. Inspired by God. And God is giving to Jacob these words being recorded basically by Moses, and they're words that are for the sons of Jacob, but they're not only for the sons of Jacob, they're words that tell what is going to take place within the lives of the 12 tribes of Jacob as they move through the course of history, and they're words that are for us in this 21st century. They're for every generation, basically, of God's people. They form part of the Word of God. They form, they're not just last words. You know, some I've heard speak of this passage as the last will and testament of Jacob. No, this is not a last will and testament. These are last words. They're prophetic words. They're words of great meaning. And they're words which are to be listened to. As a matter of fact, if you read, as we read in the first verse, "And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." And then he says, "Gather together and hear, you sons of Israel, your father." Listen to Israel, your father. Now, when we look at the life of Jacob, Jacob lived 147 years. That's a pretty good number. That's a pretty good number. I think today the oldest man presently, the oldest man in our nation, I think, is only 108. The oldest, who for a number of years was the oldest, died in, I think, 2017 at the age of 116, which is also a pretty good long life, you see. But we're mortal. And from the time of Joseph and forward, basically to live beyond 110 is a real milestone, so to speak. I know that I had we had a lady in our congregation in Wisconsin who at 102 years of age was still working for her son-in-law, and her son-in-law was in the insurance business and so forth, but she was a worker. And I can remember she was a very active lady. She lived in an old farmhouse. She lived in the farmhouse of her son-in-law because he had promised his wife, who was this woman's mother, he promised that he would take care of her and her sister. And his wife died before him, and he made this promise. He said, "Yes, I will take care of them for the rest of their lives." And he did. And he did. But anyhow, she lived in the upstairs of this old farmhouse, and I'd been in that house many a time when I was there, and my wife and I, when we would visit her, they had these narrow, steep steps to get up to that second floor that I, at that time, was a much younger person, and I found them very difficult to climb up and down. And I would think, she does this maybe 5, 6, 7 times a day. Well, make a long story short, she lived to be 108. Good long life. Jacob lived to be 147. You know, in 147 years, you must learn an awful lot. you must have an awful lot of life experiences. You must, within your own life, see a lot of your failings, and you may see some of your strengths. You may see a lot of your, what would we say, weaknesses, and you may find a lot of your strengths and so forth. So Jacob comes before them and he says, "Listen to Israel, your father." Now, let's look a little bit at what takes place within these prophetic words that we find within this chapter. Jacob certainly makes an emphasis to his sons. "Listen to Israel, your father." He has experienced quite a lot in 147 years. His own history is somewhat checkered. We know he had weaknesses. We know he had failings, but he also had strengths and successes. But he does dwell on these words as far as an emphasis. "Listen to Israel, your father." Now, you know, the scripture says a lot. It says a lot about old age. Isn't that interesting? I like it when I read about the hoary hair or the white hair. Well, my hair is not as white as some others. Some others have that, like Vern Palmo, you know, he has that beautiful white hair. I get this nasty gray look. But anyhow, we come and we see in this, he says, "Listen, listen to Israel, your son." The Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother." Isn't that interesting? Say, isn't that interesting? And we recognize as the Lord's people, and believe me, we're getting to be a smaller and smaller group as we move on within the culture of our nation. But, you know, in general, we find an awful lot of disrespect for fathers and mothers today among children. It amazes me. It amazes me sometimes. I like to watch people when I'm out. When I go to a grocery store, I sort of listen and look and see what's going on with people. And I know sometimes in a grocery store I see these children throwing their tantrums and the mother's unable to control them. And she sort of just lets them go and gives a little ha. But I've seen also times where a child will hit their mother. I remember an incident of one time when we were bowling, and I don't know what the little boy did, and I don't know what the whole occasion was, but he was angry with his dad, and he came up and kicked him in his shins. The father just let it go. Well, let's take a look at Reuben here. "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch." Now we look at that and we say, well, what's the blessing in this? What's the blessing in this? Well, here's the blessing in it. You know, as parents, fathers, mothers, we are to present a good testimony to them. We are to teach them in the things of God. We are to, as it's said over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, we're to talk about these things when we get up in the morning, as we walk with them during the day, when they go to bed at night. By the way, that's a portion of Scripture which is directed directly, basically, to the fathers of children. We have a great deal of impact and effect upon our children. So here, Jacob says to Reuben, "You are my firstborn." I think at the beginning, Reuben's thinking and smiling a little bit, see? And then he comes along, "Oh, you're the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power." But the firstborn child in the culture of the time in which this is taken was that they were to receive basically the blessing. Remember the blessing of Jacob's children. Remember the blessing of Isaac's children. Isaac wanted to bless not Jacob. Isaac wanted to bless Esau. Reuben was the firstborn. And I believe, actually, that Jacob would have liked to have had a better word for Reuben here. But he says, "You are unstable as water. You shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch." Now, when you look at that account, we've covered that a little bit when we were going through the book of Exodus, or book of Genesis, and I didn't make much mention of it because I was looking at what we were coming up to then with regards to this passage in Genesis 49. But here's the thing with that account. Jacob did not say much to Reuben after it. And it's actually, when we look at it, you know, he basically went in to Bilhah. Now, this was not the lust of the flesh. There were considerable years between Bilhah and Reuben. And so it wasn't the lust of the flesh. It was basically the lust of power. Because what Reuben was doing was basically trying to overrule his father, to become the ruler of the family of Jacob. Similar, we find that in a later book, like in the book of Daniel, you know, with the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, and how sometimes when you, if you take the wife of a ruling king, then you make a claim to the throne. Well, this was what was going on. And so now, in his last words, he brings this to the attention of Reuben. And let us remember, congregation of the Lord, there are consequences to our activity. There are consequences to our sin. And this is a blessing to Reuben because it's a warning to him for his posterity. Don't do as I do, unless what you're doing is walking in the light of God's word. Well, Reuben wasn't walking in the light of God's word. He was walking in opposition to it. And so he says, "Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch." And remember, This was a great offense because it was an offense against his family. So, we look at this and we see that now perhaps Jacob, thinking about himself, thinking about his trying to live by his wit in his early years, trying to get the best of Laban, which he eventually did, but he did things in a way which were improper and basically which were not right. And so we see the weaknesses of Jacob. Jacob understood them. Jacob wants his family to benefit by his own experience in life. And he's calling upon his sons and saying, now here, listen to your father. We leave a legacy, by the way, all of us, for our children. Whether you have good fathers, good parents, bad parents, or what have you, you leave a legacy. You have an impact. Now, it doesn't mean that if you have a wicked father or a wicked mother that you're going to be wicked. But you have an impact. And the impact may be, and especially by the grace of God working in a person's life, the impact may be is, well, I don't want to be like that. I've known many individuals whose fathers were alcoholics or had addictions of some sort, and they've learned by it. They grew up thinking, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be irresponsible. I want to take care of my family. A lot of them, when they see what has happened within their families, a lot of them, by the grace of God and through faith in His name, come and say, well, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to believe what I find within the pages of scriptures, and I have a new life, not the old life. So we look at this, and we should recognize one of the great blessings to the sons of Jacob is the covenant promises that has come to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and has come before his sons and their sons. It's part of the legacy that we leave. That legacy is important. Many times we see that. Then we come to Simeon and Levi. Says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, it's interesting with regards to Simeon and Levi, you see. Remember what they did to the men of Shechem, you see? And the Israelites, I mean the family of Israel, they were willing to go to Shechem and they were willing to, come before them, and if they would enter into this relationship, because Diane, the daughter of Jacob, was taken by Shechem, basically, and they had sex outside of the bond of marriage, and then the Shechemites came and said, well, why can't we have her become Shechem's wife? And so Simeon and Levi said, well, if you will have your men circumcised, and then we can seal this deal. Well, they did. But then, because of their soreness, the men couldn't fight a battle. They killed the men of Shechem. And that brought disgrace to the family of Israel. And that's what Jacob's bringing to their attention, warning them. Simon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. And he says, here's the burden that they're going to bear if you act like the brothers. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So what was to be the fallout, so to speak, of the tribes of Simeon and Levi? Well, for one, we recognize Simeon just more or less disappears eventually. Disappears as a result of their sinfulness. Didn't disappear. What happened to them is they became part of the tribe of Benjamin. And they're never basically spoken of again within the history of the children of Israel. Levi, on the other hand, we find, what happened with Levi? Well, Levi's life changes its course. And Levi basically, he basically follows what happened to the tribe of Levi, took place, and they were divided in Jacob and scattered them in Israel. Levites became the priests. They became the priests because of the change within the whole tribe of Levi. But they were still scattered within Israel. They didn't have any part of the inheritance of the land. The Levites became the priests, and the priests were scattered throughout the lands of the tribes. And they were given their upkeep and so forth. And so we look at this, and that was a blessing. Levi became a blessing. Levi's family became a blessing throughout Israel for the most part. And so we see these consequences. We see the consequences that we have and that they had. And we find that as we come through this, and I don't want to get too much into it today, with Judah, of course, we find a big difference, you see. Now, Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp, and so forth. Well, who was Judah? Where does he fall in? Well, if we look at it, we find out where he falls in. If you know the, with regards to the children of Israel, those first four children were Reuben, then Simeon, and Levi, and then you have Judah. He's the fourth in line, but he's the one who becomes the head of the family. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. And we're talking about this is a prophecy. This is the prophecy of Judah. We find Judah's life, and Judah, it's Judah, the tribe of Judah, that basically gives birth to David. And in giving birth to David and going on in that genealogy, it's the tribe of Judah the tribe of Judah, from which our Lord and Savior is born. Our activities within our families as parents have consequences. Those consequences are important. And God doesn't say that these tribes have to remain in these positions because there is grace and mercy. And His mercy endures forever. And His grace is bestowed upon His people, those whom He has chosen from before the foundation of the world to be His own. A person can start out on the wicked side of life, but God can take that and turn it around and give such an individual a new heart, as described over in Jeremiah chapter 31. And God can take that individual and He can grant to him grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. That's a wonderful, wonderful concept given to us by the grace of God. And it's a wonderful, wonderful message comes out of basically this chapter, in which we see Jacob coming and saying, listen, listen to your father Israel. These are words of God. These are words of having an understanding of how God works within the lives of His people. You know, we find the comparison here between the animals. We find those that have no comparison to them. But we look and we recognize that God gives blessings to those whom He loves, and He draws them to Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. May those blessings come upon us. And let's not forget, as parents, mothers and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, children of parents, to pray for the grace of God and the blessings of God come upon us as parents, as grandparents, as children, that we may hear His word and that we may believe it and that we may act upon it. Let's live out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come again before You. We're thankful, Father, for the words that You set before us. We're thankful, Lord, for the records that come to us within the Scriptures, where we see the beauty of Your holiness, the beauty of Your righteousness, the beauty of Your truth, the beauty of Your grace and mercies. And our Father, we just ask that we may rejoice, that we may have that respect which You require of us for our parents, that we may have that the understanding that you give to us concerning your word, that there are consequences to our actions, and that we may basically turn from the evil that is within the world and also that is oftentimes within us, repenting, reversing our courses, that we may walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Hear us now. Bless us, our Father, we pray, as we call upon you through the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.